ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 19, entitled The Perfection of Spiritual Knowledge, Text Number 5. Tasmadhyanena sahitam Tasmadhyanena sahitam Gyatva svatmanam uddhava ज्ञात्वा स्वात्मानम् उद्धव ज्ञान विज्ञान संपन्नो ज्ञान विज्ञान संपन्नो भजे माम भक्ति भावितः भजे माम भक्ति भावितः तस्माज्ञानेन सहितम् ज्ञात्वा स्वात्मानम् उद्धव ज्ञान विज्ञान संपन्नो भज माम भक्ति भावितः तस्माज्ञानेन सहितम् ज्ञात्वा स्वात्मानम् उद्धव ज्ञान विज्ञान संपन्नो भज माम भक्ति भावित तस्मात् देखो ज्ञानेन नॉलेज सहितम् विद ज्ञात्वा नोइंग स्व आत्मानम् योर ओन सेल्फ उद्धव माय डियर उद्धव ज्ञान In Vedic knowledge, Vikyan, and clear realization, Sampannaha, accomplished, Bhaja, worship, Maam, me, Bhakti, of loving devotion, Bhavataha, in the mood. Translation and purport by the servants of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Therefore, my dear Uddhava, through knowledge, you should understand your actual self, then advancing by clear realization of Vedic knowledge, you should worship me in the mood of loving devotion. Translation responsibly. Therefore, my dear Uddhava, through knowledge you should understand your actual self. Then advancing by clear realization of Vedic knowledge, you should worship me in the mood of loving devotion. Purport. The word vijnana indicates realized knowledge of one's original spiritual form. Every living entity has an eternal spiritual form which lies dormant until one arouses one's original Krishna consciousness. Without knowledge of one's own spiritual personality, it is not possible to cultivate love of the Supreme Personality, Lord Krishna. Therefore, the words Gyatva Swatmanam are significant here, indicating that every living entity can realize his full potential as an individual person only in the kingdom of God. Om Agyan Timirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Nama Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Shri Advaita Gadadhar, Shivasadi, Gaura Bhakta Vrinda, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So in this chapter, the perfection of spiritual knowledge. The word jnana, or the knowledge, the transcendental knowledge, this comes, this is like the main theme. So previously Krishna has explained in Uddhava Gita various systems like Varnashram system, and he's going to describe other systems also. He already told about the mystic yoga siddhis, and further he will tell about, in this chapter Krishna will touch two limbs of the Ashtang Yoga. Like Ashtang Yoga has eight limbs. So first two are Yam and Niyama, what to do, what not to do. So Krishna will touch on those points little bit in the last verses of this chapter. So this chapter basically starts with the Jnana aspect, like how the jnanis, they cultivate this speculative knowledge. So the process of jnana is the process of jnana and the end that they are trying to reach is different. But in bhakti yoga, as we discussed in previous classes, the process and the end is same. So you don't have to change. So it is said, like you are chanting. So what will you get after chanting? More chanting. So it's like that. So the end and the means is the same. But this jnana, the jnana process, this has a different means and the different end. So this verse, today's verse, tells like how from the means you go towards the end. So this says like through the knowledge you should understand your actual self. So first, through this jnana, you know, okay, who you are. And then what you do and where do you reach, that's also described. So you should worship me in the mood of loving devotion. That's the topmost goal. And in bhakti yoga, we straight away try to dovetail with that goal and we do the follow the processes. So we'll discuss this mood, how to develop this mood and what's the importance of this mood. But first we'll discuss about this jnana that this verse talks about. This verse says, through the knowledge you should understand your actual self. So first, understand your actual self, who we actually are. So we see that this knowledge or jnana is, we can divide in two parts. So one is the so-called knowledge of this material world, and then there is the real knowledge. So what is the so-called knowledge? As most people know in the material world, they also think they are knowledgeable, but they have this so-called knowledge. So what is their knowledge trying to achieve? They are trying to achieve enjoyment within this material realm. So they are trying to get some knowledge so that they can enjoy within this material world. So if you see, people will ask you, do you know about this, do you know about that? And if you don't know, means you are in ignorance. So what will people ask these days? Do you know the best place to eat, you know, the best restaurant, the best cafe? Do you know in Melbourne where it is? Go for it. Yeah. Oh, yeah. CrossFit. So this is real knowledge. This is real knowledge. This we'll discuss later on. First, the so-called knowledge. So in so-called knowledge, if you ask, okay, where's the best place for meat eating? Yeah. So if you don't know where's the best meat available, so they'll say, oh, you don't know, you're in ignorance, you know. And what else they will ask? Okay, where's the best place for gambling? Crown Casino. You know, we don't go there. Anyway, so where's the best place for illicit sense gratification? You know, where's the best place to get intoxication? So this is considered knowledge in this day and age. So if you don't know about this, they will say you are just like a loser. You know, you've lost the aim of life. You don't know where to get intoxication, how to enjoy it. If you don't know how to enjoy, you know, your purpose of living is a failure. So we see, but actually they are trying to enjoy, but they cannot enjoy. So material world is designed in a way that you cannot enjoy. So it's material world is like a jail. So within the jail, how can you enjoy? I was watching a documentary maybe 1-2 months ago. It was about a jail in it's a BBC documentary about a jail in USA. So they were showing different cells, and basically they are suffering, you know. So they're hardcore criminals there, and more crime you have done, you are in worse cell. So one cell was like, it was just, you know, half, you can say 1/4 of this room, very half low, and there's nothing there. His toilet is over there, and he's just standing, there's nothing. And he's there from maybe 10-14 years, and he has got life imprisonment. So he was like a big serial killer. But after 10-14 minutes, he had cooled down. He said, okay, I have accepted this, what to do? Yeah, I have done so much crime. So within the jail atmosphere, within the prison, you cannot enjoy. And if you try to enjoy there, it's actually foolish. You should try to get out of the jail. So people think, okay, we'll take this intoxication and dance in the clubs, so you get some enjoyment. But that's not enjoyment. They suffer in the end. So many diseases, mental related diseases, physical diseases, like that. But in devotion we see, we actually enjoy. So like this example is there, from Chaitanya Charitamrita we see there's Vakreshwar Pandit. So it said he used to dance with, you know, for 72 hours non-stop and with constant ecstasy. It's not that, you know, after 15 minutes he's taking a rest, you know, 2 minute rest and then performing. No, he's having constant ecstasy of this devotion. So he's actually enjoying. And then Lord is also enjoying. Lord, he used to dance in Shiva's Pandit's Angan, Shiva's Angan, and that's the real enjoyment. So in material world, these people are trying to cultivate this real knowledge, okay, you know, how to get this best relationship, best place to eat meat. So, but they are suffering now, and they will suffer later because they are committing sin. So this so-called knowledge is of no use. So if someone says you don't know this, don't know, we shouldn't be shouldn't feel inferior. We should feel okay, it's good that we don't know. You know, and even if we know, we don't go there. So Crown Casino, we don't go there unless rarely on book distribution if you want to. But no, I mean, generally you don't go, you stay away from these places. So why cannot we enjoy in this material world? Because we are bound. So it's like if you tie, you know, if I'm tied with the three strong chains, the three modes of material nature, it's like the iron chain, the silver chain and the golden chain. If you tie me tightly, so how can I enjoy in that bound situation? What's my enjoyment? So I can jump or something, you know. So that's not enjoyment. So best way to enjoy is getting free from this bondage. So we see the whole, in this day and age, the whole education system. Education means to cultivate knowledge, to give knowledge. But in schools and universities, what knowledge do we get? So the knowledge they give, the so-called knowledge they give, okay, you gain this degree, you get this degree, bachelor's, master's, and then you go get a job and work hard and try to earn a living, you know. So this is basically work of a Shudra to work under someone. So the whole, actually people are even lower than Shudra, they are working on an animal level, animal platform. The consciousness is so low, they are working on an animal's platform. So they give this so-called knowledge so that you can work hard day and night just for a little bit of enjoyment. So I was hearing Prabhupada's lecture, Bhagavad Gita lecture. So he was saying, I had heard so many times, okay, work like a donkey, work like a donkey. But in that lecture I understood actually what it means, you know. So it's like, why do we say work like a donkey? It's like a donkey, if you see, here you don't see, in India if you see, so much load is on top of him. You know, you put so much load in construction of houses or, you know, other places, they'll just pile him up with things, load him up, and he goes just like a humble servant. He works so hard whole day. So what's his motivation? That in the end my master will give me some grass. So that's his motivation. So but he's so foolish that he cannot understand grass is everywhere. He can go and eat the grass, but he thinks, no, I'll work hard and master will give me some grass. So this is the foolish mentality. So how people are working today? They're working hard whole day. But Prabhupada was saying in the lecture, however hard you work, at the end of the day you will just eat 4 chapatis. You know, you work. So it's like that. If you work 40 hours a week, if you work 60 hours a week or 80 hours a week, that doesn't mean, you know, you can eat 4.5 or 5 maybe, but that's the basic thing you need. So that's why donkey just needs that some grass. Why to work so hard? The same way. So devotees know this trick and they use their intelligence, this spiritual discrimination, and they actually work for Krishna. So now we'll discuss, okay, this is so-called knowledge, cultivation of so-called knowledge. This is of no use. So what is the real knowledge? So real knowledge, as Vedanta Sutra says, Atato Brahma Jigyasa. So Atato Brahma Jigyasa means, now that you are in the human form of life, so you should inquire about the Brahman, the spirituality, the spiritual, your spiritual existence. So that's the goal of human life. In human life, it's not meant to work hard and just, you know, for some little enjoyment. Human life is meant to realize who you are, who is God, and what's your relationship with God, like that. So we see in teachings of Lord Chaitanya and Chaitanya Charitamrita, it's given like how Sanatana Goswami, who was first working under Nawab Hussain Shah, and then he was arrested and he wanted to go and, you know, serve Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and then somehow he escaped. And when he escaped, he was just like a mendicant, and then he reached Banaras, where he heard Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is there, and somehow he reached there, and then he heard Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is at the home of Chandrasekhar Acharya, and he reached the doorstep of the house, and actually Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was inside the house, and he came to know that my great devotee has come outside. So he sent Chandrasekhar Acharya, let go outside, there is a great Vaishnava, bring him in. So then Chandrasekhar Acharya went outside and he saw no one, you know, just a mendicant sitting there. So he went inside and he said, there is no Vaishnava outside. So then he said, no, that mendicant is the Vaishnava. Then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraced Sanatana Goswami. Then Sanatana Goswami was saying, no, don't touch me, I'm fallen, and, you know. But so then there is a conversation between Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Sanatana Goswami. So in that conversation, Sanatana Goswami, actually he is a learned Vaishnava and exalted devotee, but he presents himself as just a fallen person. So he begins with this question, you know, Atato Brahma Jigyasa. So he asks this question, okay, what is my duty? So who am I? I don't know who I am. So and why am I suffering? You know, why am I suffering in this world? So these basic questions, he started the and then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave the answers. So this is the basic question. This is real knowledge. So this knowledge, if you understand, okay, this knowledge is understood in three steps. So we see from Srimad Bhagavatam, it said, Vadanti tat tatvavidas tatvam yat jnanam advayam brahmeti parmatmeti bhagwan iti shabdete. That the absolute truth is realized at these three levels. So this Brahman or this Brahma Jigyasa, we try to understand, the first level is the Brahman realization. In Brahman realization, we realize the Sat aspect. Sat aspect means that we are eternal. So first we understand, okay, we are eternal. We are the spirit soul, and the spirit soul is eternal. It doesn't have birth and death. So that itself brings a lot of joy. That's called Brahmana, you know. That's very high platform to realize the Brahman level. So then if you advance further, so then next is the Paramatma level. First you have realized the impersonal Brahman aspect, and then next level is the localized Paramatma. You understand, okay, there is a form of Supreme Lord which is within your heart as Paramatma, who is guiding your wanderings, your guy who is guiding you from within, and he is also within each atom, like that. But the highest understanding is the Bhagwan realization. So Bhagwan realization is like, it's like a one-stop shop, you know, you get everything. So at Brahman level you get the Sat aspect, the eternity, then and further you get Sat and Chit, knowledge aspect also. But at the Bhagwan level you get everything, Sat, Chit and Ananda, you get the real joy. Because that's when you know your full identity. So first you have understood that you are spiritual, but what to do then? Okay, you are the spirit soul, but what is the activity of the spirit soul? So we are, at the Bhagwan level we know Jivera Swarupoi Krishnera Nityadas. So that we are the eternal servant of Krishna. We are not only spiritual, we are also servant of Krishna. So we eternally serve Krishna in our capacity, like that. So this is real knowledge, or full knowledge, the Bhagwan level. So, but these days the so-called knowledge is focused towards the bodily conception of life. You think, okay, you are the body, and give as much satisfaction to the body as possible, like that. But that causes misery, actually, misery and anxiety and fear, like that. So in Srimad Bhagavatam, when we see Prahlad Maharaj was there, 7th canto, he's a young boy, 5 years old. So his father, thinking of his welfare of his child, sent to his school to get this very nice knowledge, and under two teachers, sons of Shukracharya, yeah, sons of Shukracharya, he told them, okay, teach him, give him full Gyan. So then once he came to his father and he felt so much love towards him, he asked, okay, my son, what have you learned? Tell me. So then he said, you know, those people who have accepted this bodily conception of life, those people who have accepted this material body are always in anxiety. So that's what he said. He had the real knowledge because he was within the womb of his mother. He got this real knowledge from Narada Muni. So he just disregarded whatever he had heard from these demoniac teachers. But then he became very angry. So the point is, he said, those who have accepted this bodily conception of life, they are always in anxiety. Then further we see, like in this 11th canto, we'll see later on, there's a very interesting verse. It tells about how this bodily conception gives this illusion. So it compares, like the acceptance of bodily conception is like a shadow. It gives three things: the shadow, the echo and the mirage. Mirage, how do you say that? The mirage in the desert. So it gives these three things. So these things are reflections of the real substance. If you see it, there is a light and actual person is walking, so there is a shadow. So without the actual substance, there cannot be shadow. But there is some similarity, some semblance with the substance. Similarly, the echo. If you in a valley or in a well, you speak, echo. The echo, it's like a reflection of the sound. But if there's no the actual sound, there cannot be echo like that. Similarly, the mirage in the desert, mirage in the desert. So, in the heat waves, you can see the reflection of the land. So these semblance that we get, this illusion that we can see, gives these emotions within us. So similarly, this bodily conception, if we identify with the body, it looks like it's as if real. So people, that's why people think, oh, they are enjoying. If they are trying to satisfy the bodily needs and trying to satisfy the body, they think they are enjoying. That's why it's. But actually, you're not enjoying because it's an illusion. So the real knowledge is guided towards knowing your spiritual identity. What's the basis of this shadow? The basis of this perverted reflection is the spiritual reality, like that. So this is the real knowledge. So then further in this this particular verse, it says, so this is the knowledge aspect. We see, okay, what is the so-called knowledge and what is the real knowledge. And then once you get this knowledge, it says, the translation says, through knowledge you should understand your actual self, then advancing by clear realization of Vedic knowledge. So then realization, this vijnan, that's very important. So the jnan yogis, they are cultivating this dry knowledge. So they just know, okay, you are not the body, you are the spirit soul. But they don't act on the spiritual platform. They don't do any activity. So because this realization is missing, so once you have the realization, you will act on it. So Krishna explains actually in Bhagavad Gita also that how this jnana and vijnana, he tells this about this jnana and vijnana. He gives the knowledge and then he also tells how to realize that knowledge. So like everyone, so we see this simple fact. We see from the beginning till now, whatever stage we are, we constantly hear this thing: you're not the body, you're the soul, you're not the body, you're the soul. And in India, if you go, everyone will say, yeah, we know this. But they don't have realization. If you know you are not the body, you are the soul, but still we act on bodily platform. So that means the realization is not there. So once you realize, if you say there's fire, you know, there's fire, and it burns. A person who has a realization, okay, it burns, actually burns, even by hearing or actual experience, if he has the realization, he will never touch fire. But if someone only has the knowledge fire burns, he doesn't have realization, so he may get burned. So like that. So how to get this realization? That's the question. You have the knowledge, but how to get the realization, which is even further to the knowledge? So it says, there's a very important verse which says, yasya deve para bhakti yatha deve tatha guru tasya ite kathita hyartha prakashante mahatmana. That the great souls who have this implicit faith for the Supreme Lord and the Guru, to him this realization comes. If you have this faith in Supreme Lord, his instructions and the spiritual master, then this realization comes. By serving the spiritual master, Supreme Lord and the Vaishnavas, then the realization comes. Because you have the knowledge and you are doing something practical with that knowledge. Unless you do something practical with the knowledge, the realization doesn't come. So that's the trick given. So in Bhagavad Gita also we see 9th chapter. It says, I'll just read the first verse of 9th chapter. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha Idam Tu Te Goyatavam Pravakshamyana Suyave Jnanam Vigyan Saitam Yaj Gyatva Moksha Seshubha. So he says, Krishna says that, okay, because you are not envious of me, I'll give you this knowledge as well as the realization. So this is the criteria Krishna gives to have this knowledge and realization. You have to be humble. Nandamandir Prabhu was also discussing 2 days back that this humility is very essential to act on the knowledge. Because if you just cultivate this dry knowledge, okay, you read Vedanta, Upanishads, so you become more proud. So with that pride you won't act. But the whole philosophy of this real knowledge is you are Krishnera Nityadas, you are the servant. So servant means you are humble servant, you know. Das means like a slave, you do what you are told. So, but if you just cultivate this dry knowledge, you become proud. And then if someone says, oh, do this, no, I cannot do, why should I do this? I am so great, I have this knowledge. So that's the thing. So realization is absent. You have this dry knowledge, you become more proud, so you cannot serve. So on its own, this jnana is not enough. You should have this realization by constant service. So what happens if you get this vigyan? Krishna says, moksha se shubhat, you get liberated. So also this conception is there that, okay, this material world, you're suffering, you cannot enjoy, okay, you get this knowledge. So what to do? Okay, get out of this material world. Because here you cannot enjoy, so go somewhere you can enjoy. So you follow a process so that you can get out of this suffering place. So this concept is also not perfect, because in Bhagavad Gita it says like Arjun was there, he had his doubts. So whole first chapter, second chapter, you'll see he's giving his comments that, oh, why he cannot fight, you know. He gives so many reasons, I cannot fight, this, that, sinful reaction will come. But then he submits to Krishna. Then he says, okay, I accept you as my guru. You tell me what I should do. So then when he submits to Krishna, he accepts him as spiritual master and guide. Then Krishna gives him this jnana and vijnana. Then what happens in the end? All his doubts get solved and he gets liberated. So within that body, he's there. Just within that 45-minute conversation, he got liberated. Of course, he's in a liberated position. He's an eternal associate of Krishna. But so after that conversation, he gets liberated. It's not that, you know, you have to leave the body, you know, and after that you merge in Brahman, that's liberation. So liberation means, real liberation means, you understand your constitutional position. So in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu it says, Iha yasya harir dasya karmana manasagira nikhilasvapya avastasu jivan mukta sauchate. That if you engage your activities, your words and your mind in service of the Lord fully, so you are in a liberated situation. You don't have to wait for a point. Okay, I do this, 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 and I get liberated. No. Even now, in whatever situation we are, if we engage in full devotional service, if we engage our mind, our activities, our words, everything for Krishna, so that's the liberated situation. You don't have to wait. You just have to cultivate that. So this is the knowledge and its realization aspect. So what happens when you get this knowledge and you get realization, Krishna? Then what does Krishna say? What to do? You worship me in the mood of loving devotion. So that's the end. That's the goal. What's the goal? You serve and worship Krishna with this mood of devotion. So this mood is very important. So actually Krishna doesn't need anything from us. material or spiritual. He is the owner of everything. He is the proprietor of everything. So we can't give something, you know. We can't think, okay, we'll win Krishna if we do this, you know, big service, you know. Krishna will, you know, will be very happy if we do this big thing. So that mood has to be there of that we want to please Krishna actually. Not that, okay, this is a, you know, big offering. He's not after this external show. Of course, if your true mood is there, you can have a good offering. But he accepts your sincerity, your loving attitude. So the very famous verse of Bhagavad Gita, Patram Pushpam Phalam Toyam, Yo Me Bhaktya Prayachiti, Tadaham Bhakti Pritam Ashnami Prayatatmana. That even if you, you know, offer me fruit, water, flower or a leaf, with love and devotion, I'll accept it. So that's the thing. Even these small things, even a poor man can offer water. You know, water is available everywhere. But if that loving devotion, loving mood is there, so he accepts the mood. So Krishna is called Bhava Grahi Janardana. So this Bhava, he accepts the Bhava, your loving attitude. So here the last line of today's verse, it says, Bhaja Mam Bhakti Bhavita. You know, worship me with the mood of loving devotion. This is the mood that he accepts. So in our services, we should try to be conscious, okay, what's our, am I just trying to get it done or am I trying to please Krishna, you know. So that's, so once, initially the quantity is important, okay, if you're not doing any service and no chanting, so it slowly quantity should increase. And once quantity is there, reasonable quantity, then we should work on the quality, the mood. So this, like the example from Bhagavatam is there, like the, once Krishna was with his great devotee Vidura. So Vidura had so much love for Krishna. So he was offering him bananas. So but out of this overwhelming ecstasy, he was peeling the banana and giving Krishna peel and throwing away the banana. But Krishna accepted his mood. He was accepting the banana peel. So he accepted that. So that's why, that's the main thing. Main thing is, what is Krishna after is some love, loving devotion. That's what Krishna accepts. So another very good example I read was, it's activity can be same, but the intention or the attitude is important. So if there is a surgeon and he cuts open a person to cure him, so he gets so much nice pay and appreciation, you know, he wants to save a life. And a similar thing a criminal does, he cuts open someone and kills someone, he will get imprisonment or maybe, you know, death penalty. So they are doing the same thing, but the attitude is different. So that's what Krishna accepts. And that's what the general thing is. Also, Prabhupada in one of his lectures, he was saying, so this guru also accepts your mood, you know, not this big service you want to do or something. So he was saying, sometimes you call guru, guru is G-U-R-U, but he was at a place, you know, they had this language, so they would pronounce it as guru, guru. Like that, Guru, G-O-R-U, you know. So he said, you know, you say Guru. So Guru actually means cow. He said, I'm not a cow or a bull, you know, but you are, but I understand what you mean. So I take that, you know. So that's the thing. We should try to do our best and best possible service with a loving mood like that. So what we discussed today was how to get this real knowledge of our original self, that we are servant of Krishna, and then by serving Guru and Krishna we get this realization, and then we worship Krishna with loving mood. And it's like we can work like same in chanting, we can work on it, how to improve the quality of chanting, how to chant to please Krishna, like that. So I'd like to end there and ask if there's any questions or comments. How can we know that we are? He will be pleased or not. Okay, and we can see how we are pleasing Krishna's representatives. That's a good way to know. Like we are under authority, our seniors, the people who are giving us service. If we please them, it's Krishna who has put them with Krishna's will. They are in that position. This is one way that if we are pleasing them, and they are happy with us, happy with our service, so then Krishna is happy. If we please our guru with our service, temple authorities, that's one way to know. That's a practical way to know. Any other questions or comments? Yeah, so as I said, first the quantity has to be there, then we work on the quality. So we stick to the service, so we chant or do service, so we keep doing that. So as we are doing that and associating with devotees, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, constantly if we are in this fire of Krishna consciousness, we get purified. And then that mood also develops slowly. And also we try to associate with devotees who have this mood, you know. So, yeah. So quantity has to be there. It's not that, okay, I'm doing this service and I cannot do with a loving mood, you know, prema bhakti, so I better someone else does it. No. We should do our service and still, oh, yeah, it's like that. I was once hearing a lecture of Radhanath Maharaj. He was saying, if you don't do service, then there is no benefit, of course. And if you do service very nicely, and then everyone praises you, oh Prabhu, very nicely, Mataji, very nice, you know. And then you get pride, you know. Then how will this, and then you do service proudly and you become proud. But still he says, no, still you should continue that service. That's better than not doing the service. So this mood will develop. Any other questions or comments?
Just one comment. Krishna says that this one is having now with Krishna's having now with the devotion is Krishna says in the 10th chapter the temptation of the if you engage in devotional service with the desire to please Krishna, then he'll also give you the intelligence. He'll give you a realization on how you can increase your service. And you know, if you're not getting any realization, it's going to be difficult. That's a measurement of whether we're actually pleasing Krishna or not. When we're pleasing Krishna, then we get realizations given by Krishna himself. So Krishna actually reciprocates with the devotees in that he gives us some encouragement. We become enthused in doing our service. If we're not enthused in doing our service, then we maybe can have a look internally to see why and improve our devotion.
Yes.
was fully relevant to what I reflections about.
Yeah.
And I think it's something that is joined in the material world.
Yeah. So it's like, it says, the shadow is there because of the substance.
Yes.
But if you identify, and it gives, at least it is something, and the shadow is something. It's not that it's nothing. So it gives semblance of the real thing.
Yeah.
So if you, it's not the real thing. If you identify with it, so you get some sort of an emotion related to that. So similarly, if you material body is false in a sense, but it's like a reflection, perverted reflection of the spiritual body. I can read the translation of the verse.
He uses the example of mirage. He says mirage is a reflection of water. It's an illusion. But that doesn't mean there is no real water.
Yeah.
There is a body of water somewhere. So the pleasure that we, as I understand it, correct me if I'm wrong, the pleasure that we experience in the material world is a reflection of the real pleasure that actually exists in this beautiful world. But just as the mirage is a reflection of the real water, and it's not real, it doesn't exist actually, so it's the pleasure that we experience. It's a reflection of the pleasure that actually, the real pleasure that exists in the spiritual world, but actually it's an illusion. It doesn't exist. Because it's just over here, you may enjoy today any of the most days that it's going to be able to do this stuff. It's all relative.
Yeah.
So in that sense, it's a news for you. Today I'm happy, tomorrow I'm miserable. Okay.
Thank you very much. Shri Prabhupada ki.